good evening. Thanks for joining us this evening. If you would stand, we'll get started with our service. Psalms chapter 31, verse 24 says, "Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." It's good to be back in the Lord's house this evening. Brother Butler, it's good to see you. Would you open us in a word of prayer, please? Take your hymnals. It's page 167. All hail the power of Jesus' name.
Bye. chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 14, we'll start, we'll read the verses that we went over last week, and as we go into verse number 19, where we will pick up this evening, Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 14. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. So now we're going to consider this a continual building program. A continual building program. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for each one that's here this evening. I ask you to help us as we consider what you have for us from Ephesians chapter number 2. And Lord, we're so grateful for the book and the time we've been able to spend together in it. And Lord, I ask you to help us to have soft hearts toward what you have for us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. There are a few things. I'm going to get my water here. There are a few things that are more probably more stressful and more unifying and more satisfying than a church building program, right? Would you agree with me? I think that most of you would understand, even from our own experience here at Shawnee, that there are a few things that, as I consider and hear about the history of the church, there are a few things that I hear about more than the building program of this building. And being able to spend all that time that was put in and all the effort and everybody coming together and everybody putting in time and sacrificing their labor and their effort and all of those things that went into it. And I think about when I was growing up at Northfield Baptist Church in Rockford, Illinois, that we had a building program as well. And we endeavored to build an education center. We had a school there. And so we wanted to build a building for that. And so we prayed for years, right, that we would get the money for it, that we'd raise it and be a good stewards of the money so that we could raise enough funds for the building. And when I was, I think I went between 8th and 9th grade is when we set out to build it. And so I would go up to the church with my mom, who was an employee at the church at the time. And I would go up there every day and I would just help out as best as a 14-year-old kid could in a construction site. And it wasn't much help most of the time, but it was fun though. And it was fun to see the progression, right? So it was just starting with the foundation and seeing the walls come up and seeing the roof put on, seeing all the insides put in, and then finally seeing all the details, all the drywall and the painting and the decorating. And we tried so we could get in there the first day of school, I remember, in the month of August. And it was a good time, right? And it brought a lot of people together. And so as I consider this physical building program that we have faced here at our church and that I've faced growing up and that many churches face on a regular basis, I can't help but think about that Paul was not necessarily talking about a physical building program, but was talking about a spiritual program, a spiritual building program, whereby folks would be brought together and folks would be molded together to be fitly framed together unto a holy temple in the Lord. And so last week we talked about how it starts off. This building program starts off with the unity between the Jews and the Gentiles and between people and God, right? The work of the cross that Jesus did, he is our peace, right? He has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. And we talked about that the separation that was spiritually and concerning their spiritual heritage and their law and the hostility that was between the Jews and Gentiles was broken down. Because of the cross, and they made reconciliation between man and man, between Jew and Gentile, between two groups of people who were really diametrically opposed. I mean, they couldn't get more different than what they were. And yet, through God's work, brought reconciliation, unity to them. And not only that, though, but he brought unity between God and man, right? We could not be unified with God. We could not have a relationship with God had the work of the cross not happened. It couldn't work, right? Verse number 18, for through him we both have access by one spirit unto the Father. Why? Because of what Jesus did. That's how we can have a relationship with God. That's how we can have access to him. That's how come we can come before him at any time, day or night, with whatever our problems are, is because we have access, because the veil was torn from the top to the bottom, and we had access to God because of the work of the cross. And so verse number 19 that starts off with now therefore. And so we just saw what the therefore was there for, right? And so now we're going to go in verse number 19. Paul continues the thought. He says now therefore, so he's going into more details of the results of this reconciliation. He says now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, right? So there's a big difference there, that the Jews and the Gentiles, as diametrically opposed as they were now not, they had not become one another, right? The Jews did not become Gentiles, the Gentiles did not become Jews, but the two were made one, right, in the church, the body of the church, and specifically the local visible assembly of the church at Ephesus, right? We want to keep that in mind because that's the context that Paul's talking about, the local church. And so in this local church of Ephesus, there was a whole wide group of people. I mean, that they were very all different in every way, right? Because of Ephesus was a port city, and so people would have come from all over just to live in Ephesus, and they would have come for trading, and they would have come for different commerce and different business, and some of them would have stayed there. And so there would have been people from all over the world. That's problematic, right? You try to fit a bunch of personalities and a bunch of traditions and a bunch of families into one building, and that could cause some friction. That could cause some problems, right? I think about even the disciples, who were all Jews. They weren't Gentiles. They were all Jews, and yet just the myriad of differences, even in the group of the disciples, right? You had fishermen and you had tax collectors. They were enemies, right? The tax collectors were Roman sympathizers. Fishermen didn't like them. Nobody liked them except for the Romans, except the Romans didn't really like them either because they were still Jews, right? And so they had tax collectors and they had fishermen, and there was a zealot, right? People who were pretty weird, and they would live out in the desert, and they would try to, and they were pure in their intentions. They wanted to serve God. They just did it a little more strange than other folks did. And so there were zealots and there was tax collectors. And there was fishermen and a bunch of other occupations that we don't know for sure. But the fact is that there was a whole weird group of people that was all put together, and they were all united by the work of the cross. All the work of the cross. And it worked. Was there problems sometimes? Sure, probably there was. Where there's people, there's problems. And so there was probably some friction sometimes. There's probably some issues that came up. But the fact is that they all had one unifying bond in the person of Jesus Christ. And so we see this, that there was that they were no more strangers and they were no more foreigners. And speaking specifically about the Gentiles, but as well as the Jews as well, that now they were not strangers, but they were fellow citizens, right? They were citizens of the same country. Not the country of Greece or of Ephesus, right? A better country whose builder and maker is God. That's who they were fellow citizens with. That's the country that they belonged to. They belonged to a higher place because of the work of the cross. And so they were now fellow citizens, and they were also now of the household of God. This was a privilege. This was a new family, right? A new family where there was acceptance and there was love. There should have been. There was love and acceptance in that family, and it was a new family, right? So I think about that the Jews held in very high regards their family lineage of being a Jew, right? When Paul was talking about in Philippians chapter number 3, he was talking about all of the best things of his life, where he said, if anybody has reason to boast in the flesh, or if anybody has confidence in the flesh, I have it. And the first four reasons that he gave were related to his Jewish heritage, right? He was circumcised the eighth day. He was of the stock of Israel. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, and he was a tribe of Benjamin. The first four greatest things that Paul counted in his life were his family, his Jewish family. But Paul said now in Ephesians chapter 2, now therefore we're all of the household of God, that all of us have a new family. It wasn't that the Jews got into the Gentile families, or that the Gentiles got into the Jew families. They all became one new family, the church. the church at Ephesus. They were of the household of God. So thinking about how these diametrically opposed groups, right, the Jews and the Gentiles, diametrically opposed, how could they fit into the same building, into the same body, in the same household of God, in the same fellow citizens? How could they fit together? Verse number 20. They are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. The chief cornerstone. As you look up what a chief cornerstone was in the ancient days, I watched a video of this man who was touring through Jerusalem and was showing some of the architect. And the particular cornerstone that he showed was approximately 20 foot long by about 4 foot wide. Why is that important? Because every single brick in that building had to be lined up with the chief cornerstone. Every single one. Because if it goes off, it's going to mess up the building, right? Everything had to be built upon the chief cornerstone, the foundation. In the church of Ephesus, it wasn't just some random teachings from some random guy. The chief cornerstone was Jesus Christ himself. It was Jesus Christ, and the teachings that he did, it says that they were built upon the apostles and the prophets, right? So all the things that Jesus communicated to his disciples and all the things that Jesus communicated to the early church in the book of Acts and the things that they passed around, that as long as it came from Christ, the chief cornerstone, they could build the church of Ephesus upon it. It was Christ and it was the apostles and the prophets. That was what they were built upon. That's how they could all be in one household of faith. In one household of God and fellow citizens with the saints. That's how. Because they had a chief cornerstone. Was this chief cornerstone always accepted very well? No. It wasn't. 1 Peter chapter number 2. You don't have to turn there. 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 7. It says this. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed or rejected, the same is made the head of the corner, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto they also were appointed. So we see that this chief cornerstone is pretty important, because that's how the church of Ephesus built their relationship with one another. And that's how they built their relationship with God. But not everybody accepted Jesus the way that the church of Ephesus did. The chief cornerstone was rejected, right? And so God opened the doors for Jews and Gentiles alike now to be able to receive the gospel. And God sent Peter as the apostle of the Gentiles to them. And so we see that the stone which the builder rejected has become the head of the corner. That though the Jews had rejected him, he was now accepted. And he was the head of the corner, the chief cornerstone. So when this unity happened, right, between two diametrically opposed groups, the Jews and the Gentiles, when this unity happened, was it perfect right from the very start? It sure wasn't. There was a lot to work through. There was a lot to work through. But Paul talks about this in verse number 21. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth. Fitly framed together. When people would build buildings back in Bible times, they would not use a lot of mud or a lot of filler concrete work to make sure that the bricks fit together. What they would do is they would carve each brick by hand so that it would fit with the next brick. And then when they were done with that brick, they'd carve the next brick so it would fit with that. And they would carve the next brick so it would fit with that. Each one, and the idea is this, that it would be fitly framed together. Each one. Was that process fun? No. There was some chiseling. There was some sanding. There was some stuff that wasn't a lot of fun. But it had to happen so that they could be a building fitly framed together. That there would be unity among the church. Unity among people who did not want to have unity naturally. And who could not have unity naturally. But it needed to happen. The unity had to happen. Why? Because they were built upon Jesus and the apostles and the prophets. And so unity was possible. But unity is necessary. It's necessary in the church. Why? So that they could grow together. Grow together. Right? When something doesn't fitly frame together, when something doesn't fit together, it leaves holes, right? It leaves holes. What happens when there's holes? People slip through, right? People slip through. So as a church, we need to be fitly framed together so that when folks come in, and I hope that they are coming in, and I hope that you're inviting folks, but as we are fitly framed together, there can't be any holes, because we can't have people leave. We can't have people slip out under the radar. We've got to have people. We've got to grow together, right? Grow together as unto a holy temple in the Lord. That's the purpose. A holy temple of the Lord. Jehovah God would dwell in the tabernacle in the Old Testament as it would travel around in the Ark of the Covenant, and then later as they built the temple in Jerusalem, he would dwell in the Holy of Holies. But that was not the case anymore. He wouldn't dwell in the temple, and we talked about that a little bit last week. He wouldn't dwell in the temple at Jerusalem. Why? Because that's not where he wanted to dwell. He wanted to dwell in the church. Dwell in the church of Ephesus and the church at churches of Galatia, all of the separate ones, and the churches in Colossae and the church at Corinth. Each and every church that was a true church of Jesus Christ, he wanted to dwell there. But they had to be fitly framed together so that it was a habitation that was acceptable and pleasing to him. That's why they had to grow together, so that people would come in and that the church would grow, and not only spiritually but numerically, but also so that they would be a habitation that was pleasing to Jesus Christ. Verse number 20, in whom also you are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. That's why, because they wanted the church to grow, and they wanted the church to be pleasing unto God. And so this evening, are you doing everything that's necessary to build unity in the church? Or are you, like we talked about last week, are you building walls, right? Because that doesn't create unity. That discourages unity. To build walls one another, maybe because of personalities, maybe because of problems, maybe because of sin, or whatever the case is. But we can't have walls. Why? Because we're supposed to be fitly framed together. We're fitly framed together with no holes. And it doesn't work all the time, right? There's going to be problems. There's going to be harsh moments one with another. But thankfully, we have a chief cornerstone that we're built upon. And not only does it set the direction, but it sets the foundation that as long as the chief cornerstone is set, and by the way, the chief cornerstone is going to be set forever. It's never going to move or sink. So as long as we have the chief cornerstone, we'll have a foundation that is sure and is set, and we can be built upon it. And it will set the direction that the church is supposed to go. And so a building that is fitly framed together. Is unity possible? It sure is. Is it easy? Not always, but we still have to work through it. We still have to go through all those things to be fitly framed together for a place that grows spiritually and numerically, and is also a place that is acceptable by God for Him to dwell in. Father, thank you so much for this day, and thank you for our time together. Not very long, Father, but God, I ask you would please help us this evening that we would be concerned with the idea of unity, and that we would try to be fitly framed together for you, and that you would be pleased with this place as a dwelling place. And Father, we ask that you would bless this time of invitation, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As Brother Aaron comes to the piano, as we all stand together, please. Psalm chapter 133 says this: Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. How pleasant and how good it is. Are you concerned with unity this evening? I hope that you are. I hope that you're trying to grow together so that we can grow together and we can grow numerically. As Brother Jared sings number 306, Have Thine Own Way, the first verse. Mark's come with some announcements.
So keep Pastor and Mrs. Metzinger in prayer as they continue their vacation trip. I believe they're coming back Thursday this week, so just keep them in prayer throughout this week. On Independence Day next Sunday, we are going to have our evening service out at the Foster Farms. People can start arriving at 4:30, and dinner will start at 6, and then the service will be at 7, and then there'll be fireworks afterwards. Vacation Bible School is July 18th through the 21st. It'll be at 6 o'clock each evening. The church cleaning schedule is still on the back. There's two more spots still left on it, I believe. At least at the beginning of the service there was. And then Youth Conference is August 3rd through the 6th. And registration is going to be due on July 25th for that. And we'll have a brown bag service on August 8th. Also keep in mind the swearing ins down in Mexico. The older two are both in the hospital with pneumonia, and then Heather is also sick. I'm not sure if they're all related or not, the sickness at least. So just keep them in prayer through the next couple weeks as they're dealing with that. And then also on the back is still the sign-up sheet for the sound booth, so anybody who's interested in helping out with the sound booth, sign up on that, and then we'll have a meeting here in the next couple weeks. That's going to be it. For the rest, could you pray for us, right?